This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
Welcome to Metal Heads. It's David Mackay. With me is Andre Jensen van Vuren. And Andre is going to kick off the interview with Neil Froneman. He's the CEO of Goldwyn International, and the occasion is the quarterly figures are out with some financials. And Andre, over to you.
I think the first thing that will catch the attention of most people who follow your stock is the pre-tax profit figure of that you've put down for $18 million for the year, $18 million. What was the main drivers, you know, of you being able to post that that figure, you know, especially since your cost came in higher than you originally forecasted, and with production being lower?
Yeah, look, the main driver, of course, is revenue. We had a very strong second half to the year. But if you, it shouldn't really be that surprising, and I'll tell you why. Our total costs, when you include both capital and cash costs, are well under $1,000 an ounce. So we do have margins of $300-$400 an ounce, and as I say, we had a strong finish to the year. And despite our corporate costs are not high, we had some costs related to the debt facility, and the net result is that with that margin and relatively low corporate overhead costs, we were able to generate a net profit before tax of $18 million, as you've said. But I think it's also important to note that we're not in a tax-paying situation anyway, so that's also probably about the same figure after tax as well.
On the issue of costs, I see in the SENS announcement it is put down as $467 per ounce for Moro East. Do you have a figure for the whole group? You know, we other costs are also factored in.
We don't have a total figure. You know, 99% of our production comes out of Moro East, and Sub Nigel really runs as a training center, so we don't really track the Sub Nigel costs, and as I say, our corporate costs and other costs are not part of the cash cost structure. And capital cost is a cost that varies. As I say, it's roughly about $500 an ounce, but over the life of mine, it comes down below $100 an ounce.
Back to the issue of Target. Now we've had this conversation also towards the end of last year. You've put down 120,000 ounces for as your goal for 2011. That's going to be almost double of what you've reached in 2010. At this early stage, is everything still on track to reach that target?
Yes, absolutely. And you shouldn't see it as an increase from 66 to 120. Because remember, the first two quarters of this year, the first quarter we did just over 13,000 ounces. Then we had a 5-week strike, and we only did just on 12. What you should really look at is right now we're doing about 8,000 ounces a month. And if you annualize that, if we do nothing else, if there's no further growth, we're already at 96,000 odd ounces a year. So it's really the increase from 96 to 120, and very soon we'll be approaching 10,000 ounces a month. So it's not a large increase when you look at it like that. We don't underestimate the increase though. As you know, we've missed our targets before. But we have much more operating history to now forecast on, and in fact we've put in conservative forecasts. So no, I think our targets are very much in hand.
When do you expect the ramp up of Moro East to reach its to reach a climax, to reach capacity?
Yeah, look, it's only in 2012 do we get to the full rated tonnage of the mine. At the moment, we are doing about 40,000 tons a month. That's only 40% of the design throughput. That goes up to 100,000 tons a month, which happens in 2012. And the ounces vary with that because our ore body is one that there's a high grade shoreline area, and as you mine further down dip, the grade drops off. So the ounces vary over the life of mine. The peak ounce production also occurs in the next few years, and that's about 150,000 ounces a year. But this year our target's 120.
Neil, another aspect of corporate activity that's taking place at the moment at Gold One is the formation of Goliath Gold. What needs to happen? What's the next step in the whole process?
Yes, the transaction's ongoing. We've been getting formal approvals from the regulators, the JSE. And the next step is to circulate circulars to the Whitewater Resource shareholders. That will certainly happen in this quarter still. And shareholders, Whitewater Resource shareholders, that is, would then vote within about 3 weeks of those circulars being posted. All the conditions precedent have to be fulfilled by the middle of this year, so by June. And that's Section 11 type transfers of prospecting rights and so on. So the transaction has gone a bit slower than what was expected, but as I've said before, it's a complicated transaction with a number of related parties, and we're dealing with a company that we've had to get CPRs redone on the Whitewater Resource side and so on. So those have all been delayed, but certainly the transaction, the circular should be posted within this quarter still, and certainly we expect shareholders to approve it in the next quarter.
Neil, just from what I've seen and compared to what people predicted and what people said, there's a lot of good news have come out of Gold One recently, yet your stock price still seems to be stuck in a specific range. What do you think needs to be done to still convince the market about the merits of the company?
Well, clearly the market wants to see sustainable delivery. My own view is that until we've had probably another two quarters, because we've essentially delivered on two quarters, the last two quarters of our forecast, but the market probably wants to see at least another two quarters of continued delivery and ramp up, and I think then you will start to see the appropriate and correct valuation coming to the stock. I must say, we are a lot more focused on the operations than our stock. As you can see, we don't need cash. So the share price is a little bit academic at this stage, but nevertheless, it is a measure of our performance, and to some extent, it's quite disappointing. But nevertheless, we are focused on delivery, which is what will work through into our share price.
Neil, hi, it's David Mackay here. Just on that issue, I guess when you have cash in hand, the share price is a bit academic, and yet the flip side is, well, it's the share price is everything. I mean, if you get a re-rating on your stock from another two quarters of good delivery, that's firepower in your arsenal. What might you do with stronger paper?
Oh, absolutely, David. Look, I'm not saying that it's irrelevant. It's just it's very relevant when you want to consider external growth or perhaps even accelerate your projects, because it is most probably the currency that you use. So, look, I think to answer your question, you would note that in our quarterlies we've said that we've established a solid foundation from a production point of view. We are now starting to commit capacity to look at external growth, which is exactly where you do want a strong share price, and of course the timing of that growth is probably very much in line with you know, another 2 quarters of delivery. So it's certainly an indication of our thinking.
You said when you first formed the company, I remember chatting to you about where this would be positioned and so on. You saw a lot of opportunity in the Australian market to kind of vacuum up some of the cash-starved juniors that were kicking around. Is that opportunity still there, or would you be looking elsewhere?
You know, there is opportunity there, but relative valuations are still an issue. Even for a South African gold producer that's performing well, it's still the valuation is still a challenge. But we do see value elsewhere. Certainly in South Africa, there's the opportunity for value accretive transactions, even at these sort of numbers. But certainly, we do think geographic diversification is important and will go a long way to improving our our share price performance as well. I mean, there's no doubt that we've done the work, and many other people, I'm sure, have done it as well. That when you look at externally listed companies that have assets in South Africa, they still have an African discount associated with them. But to answer your question, David, we do see opportunity outside of South Africa. Australia is obviously our home market, but we certainly need to see share price changes for that to happen. At these levels, we do see value accretive opportunities in South Africa as well.
Neil, just a final question, and then we can wrap up. It's how does Gold One respond from a marginality point of view? Are you seeing any leverage? What I'm getting at here is a cheaper rand. So the rand's now at 7.15, somewhere around that level. What from a sensitivity point of view, what happens at 7.30, 7.45, 8 rand to the dollar?
Yeah, we are not highly leveraged to the gold price. And of course that means we're not really highly leveraged to the exchange rate either. I do, however, think that we all get painted with the same brush to some extent. Whether we're not marginal, so changes in the gold price, of course, they affect the bottom line, but we don't move from a profit to a loss, and the same on the exchange rate. But generally, I think what I note is in Australia, when the gold price goes down, everybody goes down. And it seems, somewhat irrelevant whether you're marginal or unleveraged. So it will affect us, but I think the South African stocks in general, if the rand weakens, we'll all get an uplift.
Okay, Neil Frenneman, CEO of Gold One International, thanks for joining us.